Cessna makes it a mighty quiet summer in Wichita. NASA will try again to test the Max Launch Abort System. And Lynx Air may be evicted from Fort Lauderdale. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 23, 2009. Most Cessna production workers started a four-week unpaid furlough on Monday, part of the company's plan to cut production rates as sales plummet and cancellations roll in. The Wichita Eagle also reports Cessna sent out 800 of a planned 1,300 new layoff notices on Friday. The rest are expected next month. When the layoffs are done, Cessna will have lost about half the workers it employed as late as November of last year. Among Wichita's three aviation manufacturers, including Hawker Beechcraft and Bombardier, almost 12,000 people have lost their jobs in the recession. NASA will try again to test the MLAS, or Max Launch Abort System. The revised launch date is set at no sooner than this Thursday, with a launch window opening at 5:45 a.m. Eastern Time. The unpiloted test at NASA's Wallops Island facility in Virginia is part of an effort to design a system for safely propelling future spacecraft and crews away from the hazards on the launch pad or during the climb to orbit. The system was developed as an alternative concept to the launch abort system chosen for NASA's Orion space capsule. It should be cool to watch if you have good binoculars. The 33-foot-high MLAS vehicle will reach an altitude of about a mile to simulate an emergency on the launch pad. A full-scale mock-up of the crew capsule will separate from the launch vehicle and parachute into the Atlantic Ocean. When the Broward County Commission meets next week in Florida, on its agenda will be a formal eviction proceeding against Lynx Air International at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. The county says the company is about $33,000 behind on its lease, landing fees, and other obligations. Lynx has been on a short-term renewal since its last full contract with the county ended over a year ago. The carrier flies passengers and freight from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas, Cuba, and Haiti. A Fort Lauderdale airport spokeswoman told the South Florida Business Journal that Lynx is a relatively minor player at the airport, amounting to less than half of 1% of the airport's business so far this year. The Lynx Air website says the company was founded in 1989 to provide missionary service to the northern part of Haiti. Up next on ANN, the first Chinese Airbus is being delivered today. The Dreamliner's first flight inches closer, and Airbus expects its new A350 to draw return fire from Boeing. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The first Airbus jetliner to be assembled outside Europe is scheduled for delivery today to its customer. Airbus spokeswoman Amelia Xu told the Associated Press yesterday that the A320 came off the assembly line in Tianjin and will be delivered to Dragon Aviation Leasing and operated by Sichuan Airlines in southwestern China. The delivery follows a four-hour test flight from the Tianjin International Airport on May 18th. She added the Chinese plant expects to deliver 11 planes this year and turn out four per month when full production is reached. Things will be getting busy in the next few days at Everett, Washington. Boeing is expected to wrap up its final gauntlet test of the first flying 787 Dreamliner sometime tomorrow, to be followed by low and high-speed taxi tests. The company has insisted it's on track to make the plane's first flight by the end of the second quarter. That would be 1 week from today, or sooner. Aviation Week reports the first flight is now expected to last 5.5 hours. I'm guessing the most reliable indicator the first flight is about to happen will be a bunch of speeding catering trucks headed for Boeing Field in Seattle, where the flight will end. You just know there's going to be one whale of a party going on. With mostly crickets chirping in the arena of big deals at the Paris Air Show, talk among industry watchers at the show has turned instead to a competitive battle still years away. Airbus is still moving forward with its A350 widebody development program, but is not assuming that Boeing will simply lie down and surrender the market for its successful 777, introduced in 1995. The first A350-900s are scheduled to reach flight testing by 2011, with the A350-1000 following about 2 years behind. The competing Boeing 777 is the largest twin-engine jetliner flying now, but the A350 will use less fuel. Tom Williams, head of programs at Airbus, told Dow Jones of competitor Boeing, quote, "They'll probably come back with a significant upgrade on today's airplane, or they'll come out with an all-new one, so we're waiting to see the color of the smoke," unquote. I'm guessing he's Catholic. Still ahead, the Air Force retires the T-37 after 50 years of service. Oops, Lance Air gets an accidental test of the Evolution's belly strength. And we have good news for New York's airline passengers and golf courses. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. A jet trainer that has started the careers of more than 78,000 Air Force pilots has fallen still. Last Wednesday at 1 p.m., the last student training mission to be flown in a T-37B Tweet took off from the 80th Flying Training Wings base at Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas. The flight was the last in the Tweet's half-century of service. Second Lieutenant Trevor Kearns said he was honored to make the historic flight. Quote, "To be chosen out of some of the best in the world is an honor. I'm humbled," unquote. Lieutenant Kearns is a former forward air traffic controller who served in Afghanistan after 9/11 and was part of the initial push into Iraq in 2003. He says the Tweet was fun to fly and a good training platform. Quote, "I'm sorry for the T-6A student pilots because they didn't get to fly the T-37, unquote. The T-37 began its extraordinary flight into history in 1956 when it became an active aircraft in the U.S. Air Force inventory. It became operational in 1959. The official retirement date for the type is this July 31st. Lance Air Company pilot Bob Jeffrey has joined the ranks of those who have. With EAA Air Venture coming in a little over a month, Lance Air technicians are repairing damage to the company's Evolution turboprop prototype after a gear-up landing at Northeast Georgia Regional Airport. The incident reportedly happened after a go-around due to congestion. By way of making lemonade, the company issued a press release pointing out that due to the high strength of composites, only minor composite damage to the rudder and tail cone resulted, and repairs are expected to be complete in 3 to 5 days. The turboprop version will be on display at Oshkosh, along with the piston version carrying Lycoming IE2 power, and that starts on July 27th. It's not clear whether they thanked Bob for the opportunity to show off the hull's strength so close to the big show. And finally today, U.S. President Barack Obama took some flack last week from people for the ethical treatment of animals when he swatted a fly during a TV interview. But the attention of animal rights activists is being diverted this week by happenings in New York. USA Today reports about 800 geese have been gathered up from public parks and other open spaces near New York's two airports by the U.S. Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services, the first of as many as 2,000 geese to be euthanized. The roundup, in response to the January ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River, is not the answer to the problem, according to David Feld of Geese Peace, based in Virginia. Quote, "You don't eliminate danger to aircraft by killing the wildlife. You eliminate the danger by making airports not attractive, unquote. Others note that the geese that brought down Flight 1549 were migratory Canada geese, not the resident geese living in the parks. The most irritated of all might be area residents who've had to pay fines for shooting the geese in the past. After becoming tired of cleaning up their copious droppings, Canada geese are protected under federal law. Perhaps now, airline passengers are too. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell gets an update on the Iridium satellite-based next mail server for business jets from ICG's Darren Emery. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.